The Holy Gospel comes from the 16th chapter of Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks. All right. Oh, you're not going to like this one because you're never going to forget it. Did you hear about the friars who were behind on their belfry payments? So they opened up a small florist shop to raise the funds. Since everyone liked to buy flowers from the men of God, the rival florist across town thought the competition was unfair. He asked the good father to close down, but they would not. He went back and begged the friars to close. They ignored him. He asked his mother to go and ask the friars to get out of business. They ignored her too. So the rival florist hired Hugh McTaggart, the roughest and most vicious thug in town, to persuade them to close. Hugh beat up the friars and trashed their store, saying he'd be back if they didn't close up shop. Terrified, they did so, thereby proving that Hugh, and only Hugh, can prevent florist friars. I'll let that one soak in if you didn't get it, but you'll get it. But anyway, Hugh and only Hugh can prevent florist fires. Yeah. That was horrible. So today's text, there's some things we need to talk about in today's text. Keys, church, Peter, binding and loosing, and what does it all mean? So keys. If you have keys, I mean, in one church, in fact, down in San Jose, when you become a member, you get a key to the church. That's just kind of part of what it means to be a member. Now, Pam might think that's crazy, probably, because she hands out a lot of keys. But it's a symbol, obviously, from this text. You know, part of being a member of this place would be to have a key. So that's the thing. And think about all the nature of keys. What do they do? You know, they unlock things. I mean, now, with newer cars, you don't even have to have a key. You can just push a button right here. Your car will start. I mean, that's how innovative technology. But it's still the same function. Even if you don't literally turn a key, that's how it works. It works to lock things, to unlock things. And each key is unique here. You know, this is the Jeep key. This is the key to the church. This is the key to the music room back there. This, that's the crooked one. That's my house key. This is my mom's house key. And, you know, then there's always on the key ring. What was this one again? I'm not sure. It's a lock to something at some point, and I don't know why I still have it there. And I'm not sure what that little one is either. So I think that covers most everything, the Honda. Yep. So keys. So that's the first thing to keep in mind, the keys. And it's right on the front of the bulletin, keys. Keys are the key to this text. The next thing is church. I have been researching a little bit, because that's my nature as such, to research. And, you know, we, in case you didn't hear, we received a sabbatical grant And part of that sabbatical is going to Europe and experiencing all the culture there. And we'll probably go visit a couple of churches. In Rome alone, there's 900 churches. So I don't think I'm going to hit them all, because I like churches. But I don't know if I'm going to get to them all. But this particular church, as I was scrolling through churches of... turn on here. As I was scrolling through all of the churches and reading about churches in various places, turns out France has... check this church out, if you can see that. Now, this is in... I'm horrible at French. I can speak German, but I'm not good at French. So this is what this church is called. Oops.
France.
Say it again.
Le Puy en Velay.
Le Puy en Velay. It's in France. And it's St. Michael's in French. A chapel. 268 steps to get up there. There's the town. You know, it... breathtaking. I mean, if that's not a church on the rock, I don't know what is. I mean, that is right there. That's pretty descriptive. I mean, they, again, keys, churches, that's that. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff. Now, so Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And people say, you're this guy, that guy, and the other guy. And then Jesus asks us, Peter, because Peter is us. In case you didn't know that, Peter is us. Even though he's a male and his name is Rock, that's what his name means, he's still us. And Peter says, well, like it says, you're the Son of God. That's who you are. And Jesus says, you're right. You got it. You're the Son of God. And everything that I'm about is going to be built on you. Everything I'm about is going to be built on you, on who you are, Peter, the rock. Now, the funny thing is, so you have this one scene, and in the very next scene, you have Peter and Jesus and the disciples talking, and Jesus says, and Peter says, I don't, because he talks about, I'm going to go suffer. I'm going to do the suffering servant thing like you find in Isaiah. This is the way I'm going to do. I'm going to love people. And love often involves suffering because you're giving of yourself. You're relieving of yourself. And Peter said, wait a minute, Jesus. We want something a little different. And in this very next scene, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So in this scene, Peter the rock, Jesus says, I'm going to build your church on. And the gates of Hades can't get through. And in the next scene, Jesus is saying, Peter, get behind me, Satan. I mean, it's like the diametrical opposite. And again, I believe that's us. My son who wrestles, sometimes we talk about in certain weight categories, especially the larger weight categories, even though you wouldn't think he's a big guy, but he is in the wrestling world. At 182 and above in terms of weight for males wrestling, he says sometimes... you get the squishy guys. That is the guys who don't have this, you know, extreme muscles and are scary looking. They just might be strong, but they're more the farmer type, you know, who's who. So you get the squishy guys. And that's what I think about Peter and who he is and us. You know, you have him as a rock, and yet it's the get behind me, Satan aspect. It's kind of squishy, like us. I mean... maybe I'm just thinking about myself. Now, I know not all of you are squishy like me, but we go back and forth. That's our nature. We're solid as a rock, and then we're not. Then we're not, because we're human. Back to the keys. Think about keys, significant moments when keys have mattered in your life. I'll give you a couple instances for me. I did about 50 jobs when Beth and I went to PLU. I did just about every job you could do at PLU. And one of them was campus safety. And in campus safety, I must have had 150 keys. Because I did literally have the keys to the kingdom of PLU. I mean, it was, you know, because I had to be able to get in everywhere to do things. So a ton of keys. And there's a sense of extreme responsibility. And then, not that I would ever be mischievous, but there was at least thoughts of how you could be mischievous with this big set of keys. And that's, again, our nature. Keys, they're tools that get you in and out. They're great things and can be devastating things. They're solid as a rock things and can be get behind me Satan things. Because we're squishy people. We're people stuck in between those places a lot. I remember when I was 16, Christmas, I'd gotten my license, and it's like, I wonder what I'll get for Christmas. And I opened up a little box, and there was the key to a 1970 green Comet GT. And if you remember that car, it's a 3-speed. It was a great car. A month later, I had fallen asleep at the wheel and flipped it, and that was the end of my 1970 Comet GT, because it was total. And a good thing it was a steel car, and I was wearing a seatbelt, because I'd be dead and not here. But keys are powerful. They're powerful things. And I think I won't say key too many times, or maybe I will. I don't know. But where did I put that? I believe that we're keys. I think that's what Jesus was getting at. We are all like keys. We're all unique. When Jesus says, I will build my church, that's really not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus wasn't talking about that church on the rock, that building. Jesus wasn't talking about this beautiful space here, this beautiful building. That's not what ecclesia means. It means called out ones. Called out ones who congregate. Congregation is probably the better word. Those who gather. Those who are called out together. That's who we are. We're the keys right here. All of us. We are all the keys to the kingdom. Like Peter. That's what Jesus says. I'm putting it on you all. All of you. You have everything you need. I promise you, Jesus. You have everything you need. And Paul reinforces that in that reading today. Oh, you need people who are leaders? Yep, I got that for you. You need people who need to show compassion cheerfully? I got that key for you. You need to people who show generosity? Got one of those for you. You need people who are prophets and show vision? I got that. I have all the keys ready to go. Because that's who you are. That's who you were created to be, all of you, individuals. Not the same, other than that we kind of all function the same together. There are some similarities. But so many differences. This key will open my mother's house. It won't open my house. And that's the excitement of being the church. And the challenge. Because sometimes two keys, well, they get all tangled and stuff happens. And in case you don't realize that in churches, in congregations, people who gather together, sometimes it's a big tangled mess. That's the nature. That's the squishy nature. But we're the key. All of us are the key. This is what it means to be church. When we know that. When we know that... I'm part of this key ring. I'm part of this congregation. I'm part of this gathering. I have gifts. Now, you can be 101, or you can be, I don't know what the youngest person is in here, 4, I'll just say. So that's a pretty good range. And some keys, you know, a younger key, freshly made, you know, and it just came out of the Target key thing, and, you know, nice, and it's like, okay, there it works for the first time. And other keys, some of you may feel like skeleton keys, like on there, like, I've been used a lot. But the beauty of a skeleton key is it can do a lot of things. It can open a lot of doors, even if it's old. So what does that mean for us as the called out people, as the people that we are the keys of the kingdom? Here's an example from my mother. Now, my mother had bladder cancer in 2011. And she had a choice, well, before that, but she had a choice to have surgery, which she did in 2011, or not. A year to live, a approximately, or have surgery, and you live till, right now, 2017 and beyond, because that's how long she's lived after this surgery. Now, she, I can promise you, she never saw this coming, that in her life, she would get bladder cancer, which is rare in women, and she would have her bladder removed, and she would have a, no, it's not a colonoscopy, the ostomy for urine, what's that called? What? Urostomy, there we go. So she would have a bag that collects her urine. And not only that, because that's just amazing that we can do that as people, that key is retooled, you know. But more importantly, she is part of this powerful community of a support group, of an ostomy support group that is like her, it is her congregation up in Bothell. And they meet faithfully twice a month, and a lot of the folks in that group are older, and some of the husbands seem to die in that group more than women, which we know that's kind of how it goes. So you have this extremely powerful, specific subset of mostly women who have this particular condition, but they gather together, they fellowship together, they're church together. And when new people come who have just had that, and they're like, I don't know how this is going to work. And then my mother, who's 6 years in, can say, that's what I thought. And 6 years later, I can tell you, this is how it works. And we meet, and we eat together, and we do things normally. You can function normally. There's an example of what it can look like. And I think about here, this place. I think the next step for this church... you thought I was going to say tiny homes, and I'm not, and that's the only time I'm going to say that, which is twice, just to be clear. I think the next focus is, we've been focusing on orphans, which we're really good at. I think it's time to see what our group, our keys, our people who are widowed can do. When they gather together. Now, some of you do that if you go to the early Christian groups on Tuesday and Wednesday. Some of you are widows there. But I'm talking even more specifically. Gathering all the people, all the keys of people who have been widowed. There is so much wisdom and strength and faith and endurance. And I've been there, and I've made it to this point. I mean, the power, I've seen it in my mother, the power of a group of women, and a lot of us who are widows here are older women. The power of a group of older women can be extremely scary, in a good way, in a great way. I think this church is at a place where if we gathered our widows, imagine what could happen. And I don't have a clue what that is, because I'm not that person. But I know, like Paul, widows are the keys to the kingdom. And gathered together, there can be strength and power and God's grace and the love of Jesus in a way that it was going to blow our minds. Imagine that. Imagine that. That we lift up people who... mostly in our society, we say, they're over there, and keep them quiet, and I don't know. Well, let's give them space to breathe and to gather and to do ministry and to love. There's a poem, and it's by, it's attributed to Teresa of Avila, and this is what it says. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. Yours are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. That's the key. Amen.